Good morning, good morning, good morning, and thank you for joining me on another episode of the Roundtable Talk Show. I am your host, Sharifa Hardy, and I have an incredible show for you today. I love when I'm talking backstage and talking to our guests and I get a feel for the show. And based on our guest this morning, today's show is going to be incredible. So as always, I'm going to ask you what I ask you every day, Monday through Friday, no matter what day it is, and that is to go out and be an evangelist for the Roundtable Talk Show. There's someone somewhere who needs to hear this message. Maybe they're an entrepreneur, a small business owner, a medium business size owner. Who knows? Maybe they're a CEO of a corporation, but they want to learn from our guests. And that's what our guests are here to do this morning. They're here to share their stories, provide their strategies, resources, and guidelines for you to have a better business and, hey, maybe improve your life. So while you're going ahead and sharing the show, I'm going to go ahead and introduce our first guest. And our first guest is Mr. Rio Rocket. Rio Rocket is a multi-hyphenated film, television, and voice actor who has a recurring role on the ABC TV series For Life, and motivational spokesperson for Lowe's Companies. He also hosts the professional development podcast, Design Your Decade, along with the executive trainer, Roseanne Santos. Good morning, Rio. How are you?
Good morning. I'm fantastic today.
Today? Usually? Are you fantastic?
Always. Always. Sometimes the adjective changes, but we'll use fantastic today.
I love it. Thank you for joining us. I was interested in your bio for a lot of different reasons, but let's talk about you being a triple threat. You're doing everything under the sun. How did you get into the industry?
Essentially, how I got into acting was through voice acting, and I wanted to audition for an animated film many years ago. And that animated film was actually never made. It was Samurai Jack, which was a really popular animated TV series, but they never successfully created a film for it. So I had a friend in the industry. Her name is Rosie G. She was the Saturday night dance party host on 107.5 WBLS in New York City quite some time ago. And she had connections in the industry. And when she found out that I did voice acting, you know, I did character voices and things like that, she connected me to another radio host who was a trainer and also a voice actor. And I just got into the business. I just learned about voice acting and acting. But the funny thing is, someone suggested to me I should go in front of the camera. And I said, oh no, I'm not doing the Hollywood thing, you know? And they said, no, you should give it a shot. You know, you've got a good personality, a good look for it. So I said, okay, I'll give it a try. And started taking classes and auditioning. And one thing just leads to the next with this business. So if you're carrying work ethic from, you know, a previous business or just the work ethic you have every day, and you pour into a creative field, you get noticed and opportunities open up. And then suddenly, you know, you're doing all different types of things.
And you are definitely doing all types of different things. But let's go back to the voice acting. Like, all your life, were you one of those people that other people said to you, oh, you have such a radio voice. You have a great radio voice, that it stood out to them?
Not a radio voice. I would do impressions. Mm-hmm. I would imitate people, cartoon characters. I guess from, you know, watching so much TV when I was young and cartoons, so on and so forth. So... And even idolizing people like Eddie Murphy, for example, who he's such a great character actor, right? Jim Carrey, people like that. Just the ability to change your voice into someone else's voice, older or younger person, male, female. I always just found that fun. And when I found out people actually get paid money for it, I said, well, maybe I've been in the wrong business my whole life. I should get into this. So... it's just a matter of, you know, getting trained, learning, and having fun with it, like really pouring your passion for it that you've had your whole life into it, you know, doors open.
Okay, so who is your favorite impression? I'm pretty sure you have maybe an Eddie Murphy, Denzel, Bugs Bunny. Like, who's your favorite? I want one of those.
Oh God, my favorite. I think the one I like doing the most. What I like doing the most, I won't do, but the second favorite.
Why don't we get the first one?
It's just too big for Okay. It's like, I loved doing, there was an animated film not too long ago called Beowulf. Okay. And actually, like, they animated real actors, Anthony Hopkins and Angelina Jolie. And so I love doing Beowulf, but I'm not doing Beowulf. What I will do, if, you know, if you ask nicely, is Gandalf the Grey from Lord of the Rings.
Okay, I love that.
I love that character. I love those films. And, you know, fantasy characters are always most fun to do. A little bit more than cartoon characters, because fantasy characters usually, like, you have a whole body of work. You have films, hours long, different scenes, your favorite
scenes. We want Gandalf.
I'll give you, yeah, just a little Gandalf. Enough. If I say Bilbo Baggins is a burglar, then a burglar he is.
I like that.
Thanks.
I like that. Now, I know as a voice actor, you have to be able to have a range. So you took us there. Now I want to see something softer. Like, I want to see a difference.
I do so many. I'm going to go way on the other side. You remember there was an old show, Archie and Edith Bunker. I'll do Edith for you, actually, since it's so far away.
Archie, I don't think you should be so biased. He is a nice man, even though he's a little tan.
You know.
I love how you get into it. Like, your whole body moves and your, that is exciting. Rio, I am going to come back to you, but I want to go ahead and introduce our next guest, Mr. Yogesh Jain. Is a digital marketer and author of Selling Through Content. He has over 5 years of experience with hands-on expertise in Google AdWords, Facebook advertising, SEM, SMM, inbound, and content marketing. He is also certified in Marketo, HubSpot, Google Analytics, content marketing, and Google Ads. Good morning, Yogesh. How are you?
I am good. How are you?
I am excited to have you here. Is that your house behind you?
Not really. So I am in a very makeshift kind of an office setup. So I put a virtual background.
I just wanted to see what you was going to say, but I like it. It's nice. What are you passionate about, Yogesh?
Two things, actually. One, marketing, and then other is dancing. So
I'm sorry, did you say marketing and dancing?
Yes.
Okay. Well, you threw me all off with the dancing. So I was prepared for the marketing. But let's discuss this dancing. What kind of dancing does Yogesh do?
So I do contemporary and hip hop. And so I also teach in an NGO. And I have taught in some dance classes also. And I sometimes put clips on Instagram or something.
Okay.
A marketer who can dance.
Okay, Yogesh, you know what that means. I need to see some moves. I need to see something.
How right do we know? Now?
Yes! We just had Rio do voices.
Okay, wow, that is... I wasn't prepared for this. Okay, so I'll just do a little bit of tutting. It's a part of popping and locking. And here it goes. I'm sorry, because of this virtual background, I think you could barely see anything.
No, I can see it. We couldn't hear it. Now, the people listening on the podcast, all they hear is the wind, because that's all I kept hearing was the wind move.
Wow,
but
okay.
It was amazing. It was great. Thank you for doing that, you know, just on the spur of the moment, making that happen. That was kind of cool, Yogesh. I like you. Let's talk about the marketing. Let me be serious for a minute. Tell us about your company and what you do.
Okay, so I work for education businesses and I promote them through paid media as well as inbound marketing. And we work on Facebook advertising, AdWords, video advertising and all. And during this pandemic, I had a lot of time at hand. So I just finished one book. So I think I just published it in December, and now I'm trying to promote it and get the word out there. And I have actually got some decent reviews, and let's see where it goes.
Yeah, so we don't try, we do. We're getting it out there. You showed up this morning, you're on the show, you have your book selling through content. A lot of people want to know how to sell, and especially on the internet, e-commerce content is a wonderful way to do that. But when you say content, some people aren't clear on what that means. So what is your definition of content?
Okay, so for me, content is everything that is relevant for your target customer and is related to your product or service. So if you are a brand, let's say selling, travel packages, then information about different cities, different countries, different locations, stays, accommodation, hotel, food, everything is a part of content. And every format, that is video, images, GIFs, ads, everything encompasses content. And you need to cover all these aspects one by one to in order to succeed. And that is what I'm trying to tell through my book, how you can do how you can work on these channels effectively and prioritize based on your business and your target customers. So you don't end up doing everything and then like not able to do anything right. So prioritize, set their agendas, and then do it right.
That's right. I like that, Yogesh. I'm going to come back to you. I want to go ahead and introduce our next guest, Mr. Kevin McCarthy. Kevin McCarthy is the Chief Leadership Officer of On Purpose Partners, a Winter Park, Florida-based business strategy advisory. He's an entrepreneur and classically educated business leader with an MBA from the Darden School on the grounds of the University of Virginia and an undergraduate degree in business and economics from Lehigh University. Good morning, Kevin. How are you?
Good morning. Great to be with you. I'm on purpose today. How's that?
I love it. So are you nervous? Because we had Rio over here doing voices. We had Yogesh over here hip-hopping. I don't know. What's your talent? I think this is talent week or talent day.
Well, in terms of that, I was actually a nationally ranked tennis player at one point in my career. And I taught tennis professionally, was a member of the United States Professional Tennis Association. And I still, I'm many decades ago, but I still play tennis and have a good game of tennis. So that's my sort of maybe hidden talent, that if you're looking at the athleticism of some things.
I like it. I see the tennis balls in the back, so I kind of got a feel for that.
Yeah. And in fact, right over here is my tennis bag. It's hidden behind that one. So I got my tennis bag sitting in the room, always there, always ready to go.
Is that one of those things that you do as an entrepreneur, as a leader, when you need to just get away? And that's one of the things that we've been talking about during this pandemic, is getting out, getting in nature, getting in activities. And a lot of people have been stressed and anxious. Is that something that helps you?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, when I get on a tennis court, I have a lot of fun with it. The other thing that's kind of nice, because I taught, there's a local tennis court just down the street from where I live. And there's a tennis pro there, and he's a really talented tennis pro, and he works with a lot of kids. And so a lot of times what he does is he gets me with those kids. So I have he's now 13-year-old boy who's just tiny. And I say a boy, as a teenager, some can be big, but this kid's pretty small. He's so good that he absolutely whips me. And I call him young whippersnapper. He's really talented. I mean, he's playing at a high school level and beating 16, 17, 18-year-olds. So I don't feel so bad when he beats up on the old guy, but we just have a great time together. And then there's a 14-year-old girl that I hit with. And so I have all these young kids that whip up on me, but I'm able to work with them, able to hit with them and help them. And it's just fun, because now I see some of them going off to college and playing in college sports. One gal that I hit with when she was 16, 17 is now an All-American tennis player. And it's just fun to see these kids develop.
Yes, it's always fun to work and help with our youth. So that, I assume, is part of your purpose, and your purpose is focusing on being on purpose. Tell us about that.
Well, I mean, basically what I look at is, you look at all the challenges that are going on in the world today, and at the end of the day, what's often at the root of it is a sense of meaninglessness. And so my crusade is to eradicate meaninglessness from the planet. And the way I do that is I help people understand their purpose in life, and then create the strategies and structures to align their purpose so they're able to put their purpose into play or into work, whichever way you want to look at it. And so that alignment process is one where most people struggle. And it's true whether it's in a marriage, whether it's in a work, starting a business, running a business. And so my work is primarily in the business community and with individuals on helping them understand their purpose and then create those strategies and structures to be on purpose. I've got a great little tool, a little online tool at a website called onpurpose.me, where for a few dollars, anybody can go in and find their two-word purpose statement. And then it comes with a little course that's behind it called Poured Wisdom that helps them further understand and refine their purpose in life. And so with that tool, my hope is that people will find their purpose and that they will then see that life is meaningful and that they have an ability to bring their purpose to expression.
I like that, but I'm just always interested in how you find clients, because I know people most likely aren't going, you know what, I don't have meaning, let me go talk to Kevin. How do people typically find you?
Well, I was really fortunate. I started this work about 30 years ago, over 30 years ago, actually in the late 80s. I'm probably the oldest person on this panel, but I wrote my first book, The On Purpose Person, in 1991, and then it was published in 1992. And that book was really a pioneer of the purpose movement that we today, you know, 30 years later, we now have a lot of people talking about purpose, but I was one of the first people to really pioneer it. And that book has sold hundreds of thousands of copies. It's been translated into multiple languages. And as a result, it really kind of opened the door where people often find me. And then I have a second book that followed that, The On Purpose Business Person, which is really designed more for the audience that we have here, which is the small the entrepreneur, the small business owner. And then the newest book I have, the Chief Leadership Officer book, is really designed more for the C-suite executives and really saying to them the idea of a CEO is obsolete and the future of businesses will be led by chief leadership officers who see people as people instead of human resources.
I like that, Kevin. I am going to come back to you. And speaking of different languages and traveling all over the world, I want to introduce my next guest, Mr. Tommy Luke. Tommy Luke was born in Solingen, Germany on April 13th, 1976. He began his martial arts journey at the age of 6, studying judo, followed by Shotokan karate and Thai kickboxing. In 1991, Luke began studying Wing Sun Kung Fu. This would soon become his profession. His early instructors are some of today's legends of the WT world. He has studied with many of the world's greatest WT professionals, such as Grandmaster Keith R. Kimschmidt, Sufi Iman Bostep. I have all these names.
Yeah, that's going to be a lot of German names.
Tommy, save me. Who have you studied with?
No problem. Hello, everyone. Good morning. Well, first of all, if you have never heard of Wing Chun, no problem. You're probably not the only one, but most of you may be familiar with the name Bruce Lee, and what Bruce Lee used to practice is Wing Chun. Bruce Lee used to have an instructor. Bruce Lee's instructor's name is Yip Man, and Yip Man is also my instructor's instructor's instructor. So we're in the same lineage. Wing Chun is a very direct method of self-defense. So it's perfect for special operation units of police, which is what I normally do. I run an organization of 80 martial arts schools in 15 countries. So I fly around a lot, and we also teach a lot of police academies, teaching special operation units how to get into houses, how to restrain and control people. So it's a very direct method of self-defense. It's not a sport. There are no tournaments that we do. Everything is just about the aspect of real self-defense.
Why are you so interested in martial art? Why martial arts?
It's probably, well, it's a lifelong passion for me. I started with judo at a very, very young age. And when I was 11, I started falling in love with Bruce Lee's movies, and this guy kicked and he punched and he was fast and he was dynamic, and I loved that. I was always drawn to strong and big people. I loved Arnold Schwarzenegger back then, another German-speaking person who actually made it in the US. And that is something that really just pulled me into the direction of physical people. So martial arts was something that I've always been very, very interested in. It also helped me. I was a very timid, a very shy child, and who never really had to fight a lot when he was a kid because I was brought up in an environment that was very nice. And then I faced the situation where I was an instructor of what claimed to be an effective self-defense system. And I never had the chance to actually prove that. So when I was 18 years of age, I started working as a bouncer. So I purposely put myself into that environment and I got my fair share of realistic endeavors that way in order to see if what I did would actually work in a real fight scenario. And one thing led to another. I started teaching worldwide. I started teaching professionally when I was 18 years of age. And well, it just expanded.
One of the things that I've seen with people who have a passion for martial arts, and correct me if I'm wrong, is they love the aspect of it being nonviolent unless you have to. It's not one of those sports where you go out, let's be aggressive, let's show what we can do, let's hurt some people, kill some people, break some arms and some limbs. It's one of those, I have self-mastery, I have self-control, I have control over myself. However, if something should happen, I do have the ability to protect myself. Was that true for you?
That was definitely true for me. I mean, different people get into the martial arts for different reasons, but usually the ones that have reached a certain level of mastery, they tend to get away from the physical aspect and actually start dealing with themselves. So yes, I do have that same kind of experience. It was definitely not the reason for me to start with. I really wanted to be able to, well, condition my body and become as fit as I could be and be able to defend myself. I had a very nasty situation when I was jumped with a gang of people at the age of 14, which was what ultimately drove me into the training of Wing Chun. I did a lot of other styles before when I was a child, but none of that worked in that particular situation. And I was frozen of fear. So I said, no, this is it. I've had it. I have to find something that actually works in a stressful environment such as that in a realistic scenario. So that was my core driving engine, was that I wanted to condition myself. I wanted to condition my body. I was always fascinated with martial arts movements per se, and Wing Chun in particular was the system I fell in love with because it's very simple, it's very direct, it's very effective, and it works for people who don't have physical capabilities. So somebody who doesn't weigh as much and is not as aggressive as somebody else will still be able to defend themselves effectively.
Okay, Tommy, I am going to come back to you, but I want to introduce our next guest. This lovely young lady is the only lady on the show today. They always tell me the men refuse to talk, but our guys today are proving them wrong. But I want to go ahead and introduce Ms. Tori Kayla. Tori Kayla is a serial entrepreneur and the founder of Her Hub, a remote job site for creative women. She has helped women find remote work opportunities in fields such as marketing, content creation, graphic design, and more. Good morning, Tori. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm excited. Tell us about yourself. Who are you? What are you passionate about?
So my name is Tori. I actually am from Florida, South Florida, and interestingly enough, I graduated back in 2016 from Florida International University, and I found myself not really knowing what I wanted to do. Like, I completed 4 years of college. I thought I was going to be a lawyer. It didn't work out. And I'm like, oh, wow, like, life is here. Like, it's time to spread your wings and fly. And I don't know where I'm flying. So I found myself just in, you know, general administrative roles. And at a certain point, I'm like, Kevin was talking about purpose. I felt like I didn't have a purpose. So I quit cold turkey and moved to Bermuda with my boyfriend and started freelancing. It was very scary, very terrifying, but I leveraged my social media network that I had built over years to find freelance virtual assistant work, specifically helping with things like social media management as well as marketing. And in doing that, I was like, there needs to be a place where it's easier for women to find location independent work. Why isn't that a thing? Why doesn't that exist? And I started Her Hub to now help women do what I was looking to do a couple of years ago. So
why just women?
I think that I think that we just identify with job struggles a bit differently than men personally. I only can speak from my experience as a woman. And I think I found so many women similar to myself who are like in that 20 something year old stage and just not really finding the right opportunities that they were looking for. It definitely, the site is open to everyone. I just particularly market to women, and it is 95% women who are a part of Her Hub. But that's, you know, just speaking from my own experience as well as people who are in my network, it's primarily women, specifically Black women, that were the people who were looking for what I had to offer.
So over the last year, from everything I've read, everything I've been told from our guests, is that women in particular have been hit the hardest from this COVID global pandemic, because we're the ones who had to leave our jobs, you know, focus on the kids who are now doing homeschooling. And so remote work is key for them. Have you seen an increase? What is the feedback? What have you seen from Her Hub?
I definitely saw an increase. I started Her Hub before COVID-19, you know, took the world by storm. And then throughout the pandemic, there were definitely women who were referred to me by friends who had found jobs through the network, and just a consistent stream of women coming. Again, like I said, specifically Black women were the ones that I saw most coming to the site, finding opportunities that they were looking for. And yeah, a lot of people have lost a lot of jobs, especially I've seen on social media, many people are sharing like, hey, the job that I've been at for 5 years, let me go this morning. So definitely being proactive to make sure those women know that there's a place that they can, you know, utilize to their advantage.
What are some of the career paths that people can start with by going to Her Hub?
I primarily focus on job opportunities that are centered around marketing, specifically marketing manager roles, marketing operations roles, but we also tend to focus on anything that is just in the digital content marketing space. So you'll find social media manager jobs, you'll find content writer jobs, content strategist jobs, and also a bit of design. You know, there are websites that are specifically design job focused. We're not necessarily that, but every now and then, if there is a graphic design role that we feel like it's fitting, we will definitely add it to the site.
Now that sounds interesting. Now today, Tori, you didn't know this, but today is talent day. So we need a talent.
I don't have one.
You got some kind of talent, girl. It's in there. Dig deep. Find it.
Oh my gosh. I literally... Can my talent be I'll try everything once and then typically fail, but at least I try it once. Like I've tried everything once.
You haven't tried a voice. We need you to try
a
voice. No voice. Yes, okay, you know what, Tori? I'm gonna be nice. I'm gonna give you 25 minutes to come up with a talent that I can see. I'm gonna come back to you. No talent? No, it has to be something. We got Yoga, she danced. Rio over here, he did his voices. Kevin would have played tennis. Tommy's over here doing kung fu fighting. You know, we need something from you, Tori, but I'm gonna give you a couple of minutes. I'm gonna give you 25 minutes because I want to go back over to Kevin real quick. Okay. Kevin. What would you say the people, the guests are who are with us today, do you see them on purpose, living their purpose?
I do. I mean, in the sense that, again, one of the things I think that's interesting about purpose is you often look at it in terms of work, but it is something that's also from a personal level. But the idea is that each one of us, including you, we're all here expressing something that's deeply written upon our heart. And feel called to it is maybe a way to describe it. And maybe sometimes it's like, well, it's not just a job for us, but it's something that we really care about. And I think that that's the distinguishing aspects of what I would call an on-purpose person when it comes to their work in that regard.
Absolutely. Rio, would you consider this your purpose?
I would. I don't think I've ever spent a great portion of my life not living my purpose, because it just doesn't feel right to me. I don't like meaningless time, energy, or effort spent. I always want to push things forward in a direction that I feel will benefit my future self.
Okay, I like that.
If I could clarify, though, I think it's important to differentiate between purpose and missions. What's going on is everybody here has a mission that's meaningful to them. Purpose is your state of being. So it doesn't have any, it's expressed in your missions. So, you know, as a voice actor, as an entrepreneur who's building a website for women, as in your martial arts, or even in what you're doing, you know, the various aspects of it, those are expressions of purpose. Purpose is something that's much deeper. It's kind of, think of it as spiritual DNA. It just is. And then we, from that, we then give it expression.
I find that interesting. Tori, there's a comment for you. And I think this person is trying to cheat me out of what I said, but there's a Robert Foster who says, Tori, your talent is connecting women to job opportunities.
I love that. I think that's really specific to, like, you know, my purpose. I think that on a more broad scale, I think it's just genuinely supporting women in any way I can. Again, specifically Black women, got to do it for the Black women in my community. But yeah, it's always been at the core of anything that I think that I've done.
I think that's powerful. Tommy, this is your career. This is what you've been doing since you were a child. Do you feel that this is your purpose?
Yes, this is my calling. And sometimes I think it's so many things that happened in my life just organically took me to where I am right now. I right now have the privilege to teach self-defense, despite the fact that we're in the middle of a pandemic, to 222 US embassies virtually. That's crazy. And so things just tend to happen I believe when you are where you're supposed to be. And that's the way that I feel about this whole thing.
Where you are, where you're supposed to be. That goes back to the word calling. You know, one of the things that I feel is that entrepreneurs have a calling and they can't stop if they wanted to. Like for me, I always talk about I was laid off 8 times. I always wanted to be an employee. People don't believe that, but I wanted to be an employee. I didn't want to have to be an entrepreneur, but life forced that on me. But each time I tried to go in a different direction, I wind up back here doing the same thing. And so finally I said, you know what? This is my purpose. This is my calling. This is what I was meant to do. Is that what you were saying, Kevin?
Yes, in the sense that, again, the thing that I want you to understand is if you think of your work as your purpose, if your work goes away, does your purpose go away? It doesn't. Your purpose is just, it's there. And there may be multiple seasons or chapters in your life that you would give it different expression. And so, for instance, Sharifa, with you, the idea was that every one of those times where you got laid off was part of a developmental process for you that you could look back on and say, I'm thankful that I had that experience in retrospect, even though it was difficult at the time to get laid off. It probably killed my self-esteem. It probably, you know, did a lot of things that were damaging potentially to who you were, and not to mention your finances. But at the end, it was a refining process that brought you through to where you were closer towards being on purpose. I think of it as a batting average, like baseball. So the higher percentage of the time that you can be on purpose in the various expressions, whether it's in marriage, whether it's in health, whether it's in work, most of us tend to think of purpose as our work, but it's just an aspect of the expression of purpose.
Yes. Yogesh, what would you say is your purpose?
I actually want to build a company that changes and helps a lot of people and makes an impact. But to be very honest, I'm still figuring out a lot about that. So I had a product and I failed with that. And then I got a job again. And then I wrote a book. So I'm kind of in the stage where I'm figuring out how to get where I want to be with the right kind of product. For the time being, I am doing what I can to help businesses and other entrepreneurs.
Yeah. So Tori, would you say there are opportunities for Yogesh?
Yes. Yes, I would. I'm working on my talent, by the way. I'm over here.
I'm going to leave you alone, Tori.
I'm so focused on
No, it's okay. Because Robert cheated. Robert said, I'm hating right now. That's what Robert said. He said, I'm hating by trying to make you do a talent. That talent not be good enough. But I just, you know, try to see what your thoughts are because
I'm trying to make something happen over here.
I'm not going to come back for 10 minutes. I'm going to leave you alone.
Okay.
I'm going to go back over to Tommy. Tommy, Talk to us. You said that you have all of these different martial arts studios. What happened in the last year? Because I know, I'm pretty sure people couldn't go in and practice. How did you take that virtual?
This is what happened. I don't know if you can see behind me, but you see some of my instructors in the back. So yes. we started teaching virtually. So right now, the whole world is our playground, whereas before it was only the local martial arts market, if you will. So we started to shift everything online, doing live streams and beginning master classes that we do pretty much every day. That's pretty much what happened over here. So we tried to reinvent ourselves. We tried to pivot where we could in order to really not just survive, but actually thrive during this pandemic as well.
So are they actually doing a class right now?
Yeah, they're doing a live class at the moment.
Can I see? Yes. Can we go back? Because I was being nosy. Can we go back? They're standing.
He's explaining right now. He's in front of a camera explaining. Yes.
He's explaining martial arts. I thought
they're life at the moment.
Oh wow, I love it. That is cool. So I always ask this question. I love getting the different answers. For the aspects that you went virtual, Tommy, as things open up, are you going to keep certain aspects and like, oh, this is cool, I would have never have thought of this, but now that I'm doing it, I'm going to keep it?
Yes, definitely. So starting a virtual self-defense masterclass that makes it possible for people from everywhere in the world to just get these kind of classes and be able to improve their lives a little bit, get more safer, healthier. That is something that we never had the chance to help so many people at such a scale before, simply because of the fact that before the pandemic, we were thinking in a certain box. And nowadays we were forced to actually expand our vision. And this is what came out of it. And I'm super grateful for that. Before the pandemic, I would never have dared to reach out to government or organizations. And nowadays, like I said, I have the privilege to teach at State Department agencies. So that's amazing stuff, which probably would never have happened if I had not been pushed into the cold water.
Absolutely. We have so many people. One industry that I found in particular that says that all the time is real estate. Like the realtors are going, you know what? This is an amazing change because I can now show more homes in a day because I'm now showing them virtually as opposed to going from house to house, waiting for the person to show up, waiting for this person to show up. And that takes hours where I can just do a virtual tour and they're making more money. So a lot of the changes, especially with technology that we're seeing, you know, are here to stay. But it was something in your bio, Rio, that I wanted to mention. I've never heard of it, but you said you're a motivational spokesperson for Lowe's. Yeah. What is a motivational spokesperson?
Yeah, well, so I'm sorry, you're talking about Rio right now?
We're talking to Rio. But if you had an answer to that question, I'm
sorry, Rio. You go ahead first, and then I'm going to put my sentence in.
Go ahead, Rio.
3 years ago, Lowe's decided to do something in order to compete or shift their position with Home Depot. Lowe's used to be the number one home improvement company. Home Depot at some point overtook them. And then Lowe's decided that being second place is just not good enough for us. So they wanted to hire a motivational spokesperson, someone who was just good with speaking and acting. Bring them into the company, do some things internally, and then do some things externally. So, I go in, I audition for the part. They hire me. Next day, I get the call. They say, you're in. And I go down and work with them. Typically, it's about three times a year down to Charlotte, North Carolina, where they're headquartered. Last year, I only went down once, but I was really fortunate enough to work with them again just recently last week. Lowe's is doing a lot of things in the community now, and people need to be motivated, okay, to keep small business and big business both working together. And they're doing sort of a Shark Tank, Lowe's. Damon John of Shark Tank is working with Lowe's, and people are pitching Lowe's their products for an opportunity to have your products sold in a Lowe's company. So Damon John and I just worked on a campaign last week. And it's just all about motivation, keeping the ties in the community connected. And that's essentially what I do.
I mean, but that is powerful. Damon John and all, that's wonderful. Great calls to action, great people to work with. And you're motivating the community as a, because typically it's like, oh, I'm a spokesperson or I'm the face of this company. But you took it a step further and said, you know what? I'm here to motivate people to actually do something. When is it? Do you know when the campaign launches?
I've seen the final, you know, promotional videos and so on and so forth. I don't believe they're released yet. But you'll start hearing about it really soon because everything is done. They're just putting on the finishing touches. And Lowe's, what people don't know, they think that Lowe's is a retail store. Lowe's is investing billions of dollars in technology, AI and robotics and automation, autonomous technology. Lowe's is now a tech company. And you're going to start hearing a lot about the things that Lowe's is doing in the tech space. But what they need young people who are just graduating high school to enter this space. They put them in a training program and it doesn't take long for them to come out and get a really good job in the area. They can work for Lowe's. I guess they may have the opportunity to work for a partner company. And just, we're just trying to educate people on how high they can reach in life. Just from, you know, learning a little bit about technologies that help people in different ways. We're not talking about video games or futuristic stuff. We're talking about technologies that help move data around, that help communicate information to different location points. And that's essentially what the artificial intelligence that Lowe's is doing right now. You know, things that track inventory and help people find products quicker, faster, easier. That's what we're doing.
Mm-hmm. So Rio, this is what we're gonna do, okay? I'm gonna give you this. This is what I need. So when you get to your meeting with Lowe's, just pass this along, right?
Okay.
So what I want to do is I want to go to Lowe's.com and I want to upload the blueprint for this house that I'm building, right? Okay. But I don't want to go to Lowe's to shop for all the individual things. I just want to upload, this is the house, and then Lowe's just send me everything I need. So the refrigerator just comes, the microwave, everything just comes because they know I need it. I gave them the blueprint for my house. They see all the stuff in the blueprint. So I just need them to send it to me.
I bet they're already working on it.
I wouldn't
be shocked if I run it by someone, they say, oh, we've already got it.
I want the Sharifa Hardy label on it though.
Okay.
This is an idea I just gave them. I just came up with this. I don't know, but I love the whole idea of automation. The Amazon store, is it the Amazon or the Whole Foods store here in LA? They're doing the automated shopping where you just come in, put everything in your basket, and then by the time you get out of the door, it's already rang up, charged. You don't have to even put it on the thing. So I love technology. That's why I do what I do, so I can learn some of the things that are going on. But Tommy, you had an answer for that question and I'd love to hear it.
Yeah, you were mentioning the motivational speaker idea, and because that's what I do now as well. I teach martial arts strategies that you can use to improve your business as a motivational speaker. That's why I was like, oh, that's what she's talking about. Oh no, it was about Rio, I'm sorry.
No, I mean, like, everybody has an answer. I'd love to hear it. And I think I cheated a little bit because everybody gave me a talent that was different. So Tommy, we know about martial arts. Give me something else.
Give you something else. I can try to sing a little bit for you, and that's it.
Oh, that was professional. Tommy, where'd that come from?
Well, I used to work as a music producer a long, long time ago, but that's in a different lifetime.
But it was Rio. You heard that. That wasn't just...
That was amazing. You would be the karaoke king in my neighborhood.
Oh, thanks, brother.
No, that's wonderful. I love just discovering different things. Yogesh, how are you enjoying the conversation?
Yeah, I'm loving it. I was taken by surprise when he started to sing. I actually want to hear more.
Of the song?
Yeah.
I did too. That's what I was thinking, but he just gave us that little snippet.
I think you want to hear more of the conversation, right?
The conversation or the song, Yogesh?
The song.
See? Told you, Tommy. Tommy says no. No. Tommy says no. No more of the song. Kevin, what are your thoughts, Kevin?
Well, Kevin. I was thinking that I actually do Kermit the Frog. So since Rio's down there, I, so let me see if I can get it. It's like, why are there so many songs about rainbows and what's on the other side? See, so I combine song and voice.
That's good. That's good.
What's funny is I have a nephew.
Kevin has a nephew. We're going to talk about Kevin's nephew. I don't know. Okay, so
we now, go. You know, when he was a, did you lose me?
I'm with you, Kevin.
Okay. Anyway, I had this nephew when he was little. I would call him as Kermit the Frog and wish him happy birthday. And he was so excited that Kermit called him and he'd tell all his friends. And so he just recently had a birthday on February 2nd. And I called him as Kermit the Frog. And he just goes, Uncle Kevin, you're so funny. You know, all these years later, he still just, he just loves it. So it's just sort of a thing that we have.
Oh, I like that. I like that. Just fun. Just things that are fun to make people laugh, make people smile. Rio, Kevin, Tommy, they might need some work. I don't know if they need an agent or something, but you might be able to help them out. No?
No, Rio? Well, listen, he's got a future in voiceover. Kermit is a good go-to character for voiceover because, like, I think every voiceover artist has their own version of Kermit. And that, but I've never heard one sing before. So I'm very impressed.
So do we get to hear your Kermit?
Hi ho, this is Kermit the Frog reporting live from the scene.
Yeah, it's just, you know.
I think that's great. I think that is great. This is so cool. Now, yeah. I got to actually do some business and focus on actual work and helping people. So Yogesh, Tori is over here with her hub. Millions of people out of work. They need to get the message. They need to find out what Tori is doing. How do we get Tori's Her Hub out there, Yogesh?
Okay, so one way is definitely advertising about it. And I can also suggest a tool called Harrow. So Harrow comes up with a lot of inquiries from different journalists who are looking for people like Tori who have started their own business, have their website and are doing something good. And if she has just 20 or 50 minutes a day, she can sign up for Harrow. It's completely free and respond to journalists' inquiries. And she can get a lot of PR, free PR from that. And that should definitely help the website rank higher on SEO as well.
So
that
your
go-to suggestion.
Your go-to suggestion is advertising, paid advertising, and PR opportunities.
Yeah, through Harrow.
Okay, Tori, are you doing what Yogesh has advised?
I haven't dabbled into advertising just yet. All of our marketing has been organic through social media as well as through Harrow. I do love Harrow so much. And I want to focus more so on the SEO strategy before advertising, because surprisingly, everyone tells you, not that he told me, but like a lot of people will say, try Facebook ads, try Instagram ads, but employment is one of the blocked categories where, you know, we talk about things like retargeting ads and ads to people of specific interest. You can't do that since it's an employment site. So a lot of the features that are so great with things like Facebook advertising and stuff like that, we haven't been able to use. And Google Ads is an avenue I haven't exactly approached yet. I definitely will probably need some support there. So advertising has not been a bridge that I've crossed yet, but it's definitely on my list of things to do.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
Go ahead. Okay. So one suggestion I can give for Facebook advertising is that instead of advertising for employment, you can advertise for something like a free ebook on ways you can succeed as a freelancer in the digital economy or something like that, and advertise that ebook. And through that, you will get all the leads and you will be able to build an email chain. And that is something that is allowed in advertising. So sometimes you can't do it directly, but there is always a workaround through which you can get the leads that are relevant for you.
Yeah, and I was gonna suggest, if you start, I'm on your website right now, I'm looking at it, and I don't see that you have a blog on there. So if you were to sort of take the idea of the ebook and say, what if I was to create, and I can tell you there's a way to create a book on a weekend. I mean, and you can literally do it in an hour. And that is take all of the questions that everybody asks you about getting a job and just write out all those questions and then just start answering those as blog posts. And then once you have all those blog posts done, which is content marketing, then you could put them together into an ebook, which you could then sell on Amazon, or you could use as a free download type opportunity that Yogesh is describing. So, you know, and that's a content strategy that would really work well for what you're doing and perhaps grow your business.
Thank you so much. Yes. No, blogging is, there's actually a blog on there, but I've taken it away just because I haven't been able to upkeep with it. That's why I'm like, I need to get back into creating actual content because it does really support in terms of the overall SEO strategy.
Well, the beautiful part about it is you have all these creative women that are on your site, many of whom are writers. And maybe you could hire some of your own people. Do you hire people, or is it by the job, or is it full-time jobs that you're trying to help them find?
A variety. So we cover everything from full-time, part-time, contract, freelance, temporary, as well as internships.
What you might even try is a contest and say, hey, I'm putting out to all those people that are writers. We're looking for, here's a subject, and we're going to do an ebook on this. And if you want to contribute, you know, your story, that's a fast way of getting an ebook done in a way that would be remarkable. You know, you could have a book done in 2 weeks by just putting it out there and saying, tell us about what your best tips are for finding a job.
I like that.
You might have 10 people that respond. That's 10 chapters. And now you've got an ebook that you didn't even write.
Yes. I love when I get work done that I don't even have to do. Tori, it is that time. We come down to the last few minutes.
But the conversation was going so well. Okay, so I can attempt to draw. I'm not going to say I'm an artiste, but I can attempt to draw. So I made a lovely
Oh.
And you won today's prize. Everybody was excellent, but I received that. I need to copy that, scan it over, because that made me was behind me the next time you see me. Good job. Tell Robert Foster you came through. You have talent that we didn't know about. I wouldn't be able to do that. I can't even draw a stick man. My stick man looks like hung over. Okay. We are coming down to the last few minutes of the show. And what I love to do at the end of every show is just simply allow my guests the opportunity to speak directly to the audience, to everyone who is watching the show live, as well as everyone who is watching in the archives, and let them know what you want them to take away from your appearance here today. And we're going to start with you, Yogesh.
Okay. So for me, I would suggest every marketer and every entrepreneur to try more and more things instead of trying to get them perfectly. And when you do a lot of hit and trial, when you try more things, you sometimes land in situations and positions where things automatically work out and you didn't even thought that they would. And that is something that goes with life, marketing, business, and entrepreneurship. And another thing I would say is, please go try this book. It's right now on a countdown sale in Amazon, and you can get it for under $1, but that ends within a week. So I would suggest, please go read it and give a review and share your feedback till the point of last.
Okay, so I just want to make sure I heard you correctly. Your book, Selling Through Content, is on sale for $1?
Yeah, it's an Amazon countdown deal, and it ends in a week.
It ends in a week. So February 18th, February 19th. If they order prior to that, they can get your book, Selling Through Content, for $1. Love it. Kevin, what do you have for us?
What I have for you is go find your purpose. Go to onpurpose.me. It's a two-word purpose statement, which is going to be different than what you're expecting, kind of that spiritual DNA, the X and the Y chromosome. And then once you know your purpose, you'll find that your resilience for anything that comes at you is much higher. Your life is going to have forever meaning, which is that way you're not subject to the winds and flows and the ebbs of life that come along, which are invariably are going to happen. And that way you're always looking at it and saying, I know I can give my perfect purpose expression in some other way or in some different thing that comes along.
Yes, I agree. Rio, what do you have for us?
I would say upgrade your skills. Now more than ever, you need to develop your hard skills, your soft skills, your networking skills, and your leadership skills. I host a podcast called Design Your Decade. You can access the podcast at designyourdecade.io. You can also find it on Apple, Spotify, Google Play, any favorite podcasting platform. This podcast is dedicated to teaching those skills that are going to help you move up the ladder, help you succeed, and help you earn that executive level salary that you've been looking for ever since you graduated college. It's Design Your Decade, hosted with Roseanne Santos, my co-host. And not only will you learn a lot about skills, you will also die laughing. It's hilarious. We educate while we entertain, and the podcast is only 15 to 20 minutes long, so it's not going to eat up, you know, too much of your time. It's Design Your Decade. Enjoy it. Send me feedback. I'd love to hear from you.
Love it. Design Your Decade podcast. We'll have to add it to my new podcast directory called Potterly. Love to have you in there.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Tori, what do you have for us?
I have that, you know, I would like to just say that, you know, life is very strange. In all of my 27 years of life, I think that life is extremely strange and ever-changing, and COVID-19 is something that definitely has showed us that. So don't be afraid to, you know, if you've been holding out on following your passion or you're in a place of unhappiness and you're really looking to change, don't be afraid to take that leap and to try to make that change in your life and find your purpose, kind of like what Kevin was talking about. If you are looking for remote job opportunities, again, my website is itsherhub.com and it's dedicated to helping women find remote job employment. Job opportunities and employment opportunities around the world. And feel free to connect with me as well. I'm always all about, truly, my purpose is all about supporting Black women. If you identify as such, connect with me. I'm at It's Tori Kayla on all social media.
Yes, fantastic. Tommy, what do you have for us?
I'd like to give you three things. These are difficult times for most of us or for many people. And I think the first thing that we should do is we should take a look at the areas in our business that we have to protect. Things like our finances, things like our team, the people that the A players that we may have on our team that we want to keep, then people who are not A players and seeing what we do with these people. The second is, where can we pivot? The things that have been able to keep us afloat so far may not work right now within the pandemic. So where can we pivot? And how can we embrace technology, like the things that we're doing with the self-defense classes? We normally do it in physical locations right now, where we were forced to actually do it virtually. And then the third thing is to attack. Now that we're doing this, we're attacking like crazy and we're just firing on all fronts. So where can you do that in your business? If you should be interested in virtual self-defense classes and you have a group, I offer people free class. Go to selfdefensemasterclass.com. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. How many people is required for a group?
5 people minimum.
Oh, well, that's good. I thought it was going to be like 10. So 5 is good. So grab 4 friends and take a self-defense class. I know it helped me as a young child. My dad made sure that I had them. I'm a green belt, never got to black belt, but I know how to protect myself if someone tries to attack me. Great show. This was an amazing show. Great show. I don't even know how we got on Talent Day. I think Rio started it off, but it's fun to have guests that are just willing to go with the flow, be creative, and see what happens. And everyone showed us a talent today. I am so grateful. I want to thank you all for being a guest on today's episode of the Roundtable Talk Show. But I especially want to thank everyone who tuned in to watch this show live, as well as everyone who is watching this show in the archives. Just because you didn't catch the live show does not mean you're not important. It doesn't mean that we don't still need your support, because we do. We appreciate you watching the show. We definitely appreciate you sharing the show, but I always ask for you to go support our guests. That's the most important thing, because our guests are here with us this morning to share their information, to share their stories. And today, They have shared their talent. So support them. Their website link is in the Facebook post. Follow them on social media. Reach out to them. Send them a message. And when you do, please let them know Sharifa Hardy says hi. Now, if you're interested in more ways that I can help your business, or maybe you want to be a guest on the Roundtable Talk Show, please visit my website at asksharifa.com. Until tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. Pacific, everyone have a safe and a blessed day. Bye now.